Good morning, historians from around the internet. Buddy's had a good week. Some reason if you're catching this right now, I forgot to upload a podcast. My apologies. I thought about it and I almost didn't make one, but I know people like to listen to it. So I'm sorry. I'll be sure to upload one ahead of time next week. So we're getting into spring. Tennessee is probably, I think, into its third winter. I think the next winter. I think this is going to be locust winter or something like that. I don't know. I lost track of it a long time ago. So, just before we dive right in, no new updates for the channel. I'm going to try to go out maybe today or tomorrow. Not tomorrow, it's Mother's Day, never mind. Maybe next week. Make a cool walkthrough video of a house that's down in Lowland. So, now that that's out of the way, before we get into the podcast, just remember you can support the podcast. You can subscribe to it, which, if you want to, go right ahead. It's not necessary, not required. Information's free, just if you like what you're hearing. Or you can donate directly at www.patreon.com/oldhistory. Let's dive right in. All right, so let's talk about the Native Americans. I've talked about them before, but this is just in case some people are just now joining us, don't feel like digging through a year's worth of podcast. So we'll go back over it again. So we know that the Native Americans migrated here. The Paleo Indians, Paleo Native Americans, whatever you want to call them, they came here about 12,000 years ago, and they were some of the first people to migrate into the Americas from the Bering Strait, which at that time was a land bridge from Asia into America. And they basically just followed the migratory patterns of game, and they made their way from Alaska to Canada and California, on down into the plains in the southern United States. It's thought that they've been here, and Tennessee was settled about 12,000 years ago, but the Native Americans, the Paleo Indians, have been here for about 20 to 15,000 years. It's a rough estimate, but just a general consensus. Tennessee, 12,000 years, that's older than Egypt. Correct me if I'm wrong there, somebody. Now, a lot of the Native American history is passed down by word of mouth. Some cave drawings in the early part of history. A lot of it's by word of mouth. So a lot of what happened prior to the European quote unquote discovery of this new world is kind of unknown. But the first recorded exploration into Tennessee was in 1540 when Hernando de Soto followed the French Broad River. And a little earlier than that, by the French who settled up around the Great Lakes region. I don't know an exact year, but Hernando de Soto basically came, if you haven't heard my podcast, basically landed on the coast of Florida, came up through the Carolinas, across through the Blue Ridge Mountains, and found several well-fortified Native American towns. One such town was called Cheaha. Don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. Which is in present-day Dandridge, Tennessee, Jefferson County, Tennessee. Supported that, the Spaniards were pretty well received by the Native Americans there. They were met with food, a place to rest, and played in the French Broad River with them, but they were shooed off when Hernando de Soto demanded women and porters. And they basically told him what for and went on up further upriver to an even more heavily fortified island. And the likes of which I don't think has been found yet. So, the Chiahens were down in that next morning, the hopes the Spaniards would leave. De Soto couldn't reach the island that they went to, so they responded He found him, but he couldn't get to it. And Soto would accept a negotiated truce. They gave him porters, but no women. And a few other expeditions were made by Tristan de Luna in 1559 and Juan Pardo in 1567. And of course, as I stated earlier, the French had already made their way into the Great Lakes region and been into Canada on the St. Lawrence River since even earlier in the 1500s. The Cherokee Indians had been in the Smoky Mountains since about AD 1000, roughly. They're believed to have been a branch off of the Iroquois, who moved south from the Iroquoian lands in New England. Consisting of about seven clans, the Cherokee Nation would stretch from roughly around the Ohio River into South Carolina. In the eastern, in the Great Smoky Mountains, believed it to be the sacred ancestral home of their nation. They'd already been there for... Now, of course, there were a bunch of different clans. We're just going to move on up into the mid-1700s here. So from the time that Europeans have been in this area, which has been roughly since the very early 1700s, Tennessee hadn't been settled yet, but Virginia and South Carolina and North Carolina were. Expeditions had been made since about 1730, when Justin Timberlake came through. Actually, no, that was in the 1750s. There was an even earlier period when the explorer, which I can't recall the name of, came through and took a few Cherokee chiefs back to England. It was from that point in time where things kind of started to take a different turn, because you get into the things that happened, the events that led up to the French and Indian War, in which point where that was where the Native American clans would ally themselves with the French, and the French would buy and pay for scalps of other clans allied with the British, pay for the scalps of British settlers, and so on and so forth. And even after the war ended, this would remain hostile for quite a while, and there's a lot of stuff about it, but we'll just sum it up. Then you get into the various treaties, like the Treaty of Long Island, which was negotiated with the state of Franklin. And then you have the other treaty, which was, I think it was the Treaty of Fort Campbell. I can't recall. Basically, it just dictated where the white settlers could settle and where the Native American boundary was. Now, naturally, anybody that studies history knows that the Indians were... the Native Americans were given the short end of the stick many, many times, and many treaties were broken. Now, at least in the state of Franklin, they at least tried to uphold some of the treaties. Not really, but they at least gave it a shot. When you get into the 1800s, we get into the Trail of Tears, where Andrew Jackson signed into law the Indian Removal Act, which was signed into law May 28th, 1830. And by 1838, the federal government began to round up the Cherokee into stockades, corral them like cattle. And in short, nearly 4,000 Cherokee, which is nearly a fifth of the population, had died from starvation and disease. And somehow, about 1,000 of those Cherokee in Tennessee and North Carolina escaped the roundup and would gain national recognition in 1866. And they would establish their own tribal government in 1868 in a place called Cherokee, North Carolina. Today they are known as the Eastern Band of Cherokee. And they're still there today. Now, the Trail of Tears was quite the trek, and they rounded up a lot of the Native Americans from the South area. Not just the Cherokee, but the Iroquois, the Creek, so on and forth. They rounded them up and made them walk all the way to what they called Indian Territory out in Kansas and Oklahoma. Excuse me. Now, the Cherokee and some of the tribes in Florida were some of the last to leave. the tribe, one of the tribes in Florida, I think it was the Seminole, they actually gave them a fight for it. In short, they were made to leave too. Now, this the atrocities here wouldn't just stop with the Trail of Tears, but going back to the Cherokee and a little bit earlier history, Native Americans like to settle close to rivers, because that's where the game was. Of course, water is a source of life. You can't live without Chiaha, Tellico, and Chota in Tennessee were the overhill towns. That's where they settled. That's also where one of the first expeditions into or Indian territory, it was called the Savage Territory. One of the first expeditions was made down to that territory by someone who recorded it. And if you're part of the Old History Facebook page, you can search through my material and find the name of the gentleman that had done it. I just can't think of his name. The Shawnee, Uchi, and Cosati, they lived in the lands that would become Middle Tennessee. The Chickasaw and Kapaw Indian, Native Americans lived in the lands that would become West Tennessee. Cherokee were predominantly over in East Tennessee and in the Appalachian areas. And in fact, they gave the Smoky Mountains their name because after a good rain or started to heat up, you'd see the mist rise from the mountains. And they gave it a name, which I'm not going to try to pronounce. Now, it is important to note that the Appalachian region lies right in the middle of the Great Indian Warpath. Now, before Tennessee would become a state in 76, many settlers along the banks of the Holston, the Nolichucky, and the French Broad Rivers recorded in diaries and written statements about their frequency of Native American raids on their land. One of them I know very well. At the Kaufman home here in Hamblen County, the homeowner, who I'm really good friends with, has some of the statements that the original family made, the Kaufman family made, about the raids on their home. Because at that time that that house was built, Native Americans hadn't been pushed out of the area yet. And you have such stories like the Thomas Amos home, the Amy home. He built his own little fortified area. At that time, again, a lot of this area hadn't been settled. It was still kind of new. He built a palisade, had a blacksmith shop and all, and his own grist mill and stuff, kind of protect against the raids. Speaking of the Thomas Amos Mill, Rogersville is where Davy Crockett's grandparents were killed, right there in the middle of town. If you they're actually buried there. Right now, if you go there, you can still go see their graves and the little marker, because I think it's called Crockett Spring Park. So going back to the Great Warpath, starts around the Gulf of Mexico and continues through Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Maryland, and Pennsylvania, and it goes on up into New York, which is theoretically the end of the Appalachian Mountains, but I think it goes on up further. There's evidence suggesting that it continued north into the Allegheny Mountains, into New England and Newfoundland, up into Canada, where it would reach a northern terminus. So where we are, you had various trails going out to the other areas, and the Cherokee would travel, and they would bring in like pearls from the ocean area, bring in salt from the Great Lakes region, so on and so forth. Very rich area. So going into the individual tribes, or actually before I do that, you have to understand that the basis for most of the stuff today, like all the roads and highways, is roughly based off of the Native American trails that they had back then, like 11E, the Great Stage Road. The Great Stage Road was the direct successor to the Great Warpath. The settlers would use the trails that the Native Americans had made years earlier, their ancestral trails, and use their wagons for So going into the tribes, you had the Uchi tribe. They were first encountered by DeSoto, of course, in his 1540 expedition, where they were referred to as the Chiska, and they were located in the highlands north of the Tennessee River. Now, the last of these relocated to the Chattahoochee around 1715 and became part of the Creek Confederacy. And if I'm misciting any of this information, please send me a message. The Chickasaws claimed a pretty extensive hunting range, included all of West Tennessee and a portion of Middle Tennessee, and some of Kentucky, Arkansas, and that such area. Now, during the winter of 1540 to 1541, the Chickasaw warriors boldly resisted Hernando de Soto's effort to force them to assist him in his hold. And again, if you want to learn more about this Spanish expeditions, please see some of my other podcasts. Chickasaws were not so immersed in the European wars of empire, but they didn't neglect to their own immediate interest. In 1715 and 1747, they did combine forces to expel they combined forces with the Cherokee to expel the Shawnee from Middle Tennessee, claim their hunting land. And then you get into the Cassati tribe, and there's not really much known about them. It's known from about 1500 and into the 17th century. This tribe lived on the Tennessee River, and in the 1800s, these people had moved from the Cassata at Larkin's Landing to just below the confluence where the Coosa and Tallapoosa rivers become the Alabama River. They survive today as the Cassata tribe of Louisiana, the Alabama Cassata tribe of Texas, and the Alabama, I'm not going to try to pronounce that, tribal town in Oklahoma. The Shawnee was believed to be the most southerly located of all the Algonquin tribes. It's believed that the Iroquois drove the main body of the Shawnee from the east and scattered them as far west as the Mississippi River and south to Alabama. The Shawnee have their main village near what is known as today as Nashville, and this placed them directly into conflict, with the Cherokee. And then again, repeating information here, 1714, the Cherokee and Chickasaw united and drove the Shawnee clean region. Then we have the Kapal, believed to have migrated from the Ohio River Valley for the year 1200. The Kapal lived along the banks of the Mississippi and were Algonquin speaking. The Algonquin speaking people called the Kapals Akansa, and the French called them Arkansas, and the French named the Arkansas River and the territory and state of Arkansas for them. I remember that was whenever they made the states, they called it Arkansas because Kansas was already taken. A little humor for you out there. There are a few famous Native Americans too to come from all of this. You have a dragging canoe, you have double head. Then you have a little now his existence has been debated, but you have Chief Redbird Brock, who came from roughly up around the Harlan and Letcher County area. His existence is debated because it's thought that Chief Redbird was actually a white man who was just taken in by the Native Americans. And then there's multiple conflicting stories about how he died. It's thought that he died in the massacre of Yahoo Falls. It's thought that he was shot by somebody John Sevier or Governor Blunt sent, dumped into the Redbird River. So there's a lot of conflicting information about him, and when you bring it up, it's just a tough subject sometimes. Some other ones are the Great Eagle of Tennessee, Moitoy of Tellico, Old Hop, White Owl Raven. There are a lot more. And you also have Nanyahi, who is the beloved woman. And she deserves her own podcast. So, but we're at 20 minutes, and if you guys are still hanging on this long, thank you for listening. Catch you next weekend.